Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast and week one, day one of our in-season format. So welcome to the 2019 season and kicking things off for us, as we have had the last two seasons, is Brian Kite, who is now the founder of Daily Discipline. So BK, great to have you back for another season of the leadership journey.
Season three, there's probably some statements about year one we sleep, year two we creep, year three we leap. I don't know, maybe that's the trees in my backyard that do that, but hopefully this is a big leap forward for us this year, and I'm excited, honored that you have me back, and looking forward to going on this journey again with everybody.
And before we get into the topics today, there was a leap for you. There's been some changes, as you noticed. I did not introduce Brian as the CEO of Focus 3. He's the former CEO of Focus 3. So tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing now.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, it was working with my dad for 15 years. Tim Kite was, you know, really, it was the real joy of my life. It was, I am where I am in this profession. And I'm, you know, from both a dad and a professional perspective, you know, I am who I am because of his guidance and leadership and mentorship. And so I've had so much fun working together for the last 15 years. And like all things, you know, not everything that started at a certain spot stays at that spot forever or for the entire time. So I made the choice to step out from Focus 3 and down from the position of CEO. Everything is all good, you know, between us as father and son and obviously us professionally and with the company. You know, I thought, Keith, that this was a really good time for me, and also a good time from a Focus 3 perspective to really focus on working with some of the groups that I wanted to work with more and some of the people that I wanted to work with more, and in some of the ways that I would like to go out and serve them. And, you know, too much respect for all of the things that Focus 3 is doing and all of the things that it's serving to, you know, move Focus 3 to my preference. You know, that business is bigger than me, and including the people that it serves in the business, the education and the athletic field. But nonetheless, I felt called and compelled to create something that was unique. And so a huge, huge, huge part of that decision is I want to more closely, more deeply, and more effectively, productively serve high school football coaches, college football coaches, and the athletes at both the high school and the college level. This allows me the opportunity to do that and a couple other groups as well. And then in addition, I'm extremely excited to grow dailydiscipline.com. It was something I decided to do a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. I've written an email and sent it out every weekday morning since January 1st, 2018. So I think, I don't know what the exact number is, but today it's, I don't know, somewhere around 450 consecutive weekdays that I've written and sent one out. And it has grown so far beyond my expectation of what I thought it was going to do that I had to pay attention to what the world and what the audience was very clearly responding to with these messages that I'm sending out every morning. So many coaches are writing me and letting me know that they're using them with their team. They print them out and bring them to their unit meetings or their staff meetings, or some people are sending me pictures and they are printing out messages that hit home and they're posting them on the board. And there's a daily discipline board with 5 or 10 or 15 of these messages that I've written posted on the halls. And it was never something that was my intention for it to be used like that. But nonetheless, when it is, you know, I have to recognize that it's working and people are letting me know it's valuable and it's a huge part of their day. And for some people, a huge part of their daily work or coaching routine. And, you know, I'm so proud of that. I'm honored. And I want to keep leaning into that and continue to grow that wider, because while that has grown, the reality is, in humility, you know, for me, forces me to say that despite that success, almost nobody even knows that this exists still. It's had a great amount of success, but there are almost everybody in the world doesn't read it. And so to be able to keep growing that and expanding it and deliver value to more and more and more people is very exciting for me. And so I wanted to devote my focus to that. So anyway, I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad I got a chance to lay that out, because I know that some people were either a little bit confused, even some people kind of concerned, but it's all good. Focus 3 is doing great, moving along. Obviously, my dad's at the helm there and doing a fantastic job, as he has for 30 years. And now I'm just over here.
Well, I know I've enjoyed the daily discipline. It's one of the first things I read every morning. Definitely something I enjoy reading, and it sets a focus for the day. It gets you thinking about things, and we'll share with our listeners exactly how they can get that at the end of this podcast. I really appreciate that resource, and somewhere at 450, you're gonna get on my heels here soon with the podcast, which I do every day. That's been my commitment here to put great content out for coaches and help them. And I really appreciate that you're joining us again for this third season. I do think, you know, we work hard at these things and developing our cultures and working on all those things during the off season. But, you know, the whole premise of, you know, when we first decided to do this was that we were going to help coaches along the way, help them grow during the season. It's not a time for them to sit stagnant. You know, they got to continue to develop themselves. And this is part of both, you know, their personal journey as well as the leadership and the journey that they can take their team on.
Absolutely. I think what I love most about this is that I love to watch the season unfold and see what is happening with the season and with the coaches and the topics, all the different things that are going on, and allow that to inform us as we go. Because, you know, you and I decide that we want to have a structure to these conversations week to week, but we never put anything in concrete or lock it in. And so for all of the coaches listening, you know, just know that Keith and I, we look at a structure, but we adjust this thing every single week to speak to what's actually happening within the season, what we saw. Sometimes, Keith, even things that we kind of pick up and we'll have conversations you and I about that you and I talk about on the side, and one of us will learn something or ask a question of something and not really sure, and we'll just decide to talk about that week. And I think that's what's so great about this, is that this is a living, breathing, changing topic week to week.
Chuck Kyle on this podcast once said that, you know, every season's like a book, right? And it's being written along the way. And that's been the fun part of this, that there are those things that come up. You know, we might focus on a critical situation in a game that both of us watched, or something that happened off the field and, you know, brought a lot of spotlight either to a player or a team and addressed some of those ideas. So it's been really fun going with the flow and just, you know, riding the season through to the end. And I know we're going to have another great one here in 2019.
Absolutely. We absolutely are.
So that takes us to today. We don't have necessarily a game to talk about here. I don't know if you've seen anything interesting in those preseason games. You know, it really hasn't started to unfold yet in the season, although college football just kicked off here this past weekend. But, you know, taking a look at living the standards that you teach, I think is going to be the topic today and is really relevant for this time as we head into the season. Living those standards can kind of be a make or break thing as to how our team is going to buy in, because, you know, we've shared those all and we've all had the opportunity to work those. We've created those situations, maybe to simulate some of those things in the weight room or in camp. But now it's really coming into the season. It's the opportunity for the coach to perform just like the player, and the coach really does owe it to his players to live up to those standards as well.
It is. Before I get to the topic that you just put on the table of living the standards that you teach, you asked if I see anything in the preseason. And I sent a message out yesterday, day before, one of these days recently, that was along the lines of the connection between preparation and performance. And what's so interesting to me about sports, what I always think of in the preseason, which I can't help, but preseason, you know, camp, high school, football, all of the whatever level we're talking about, and it's not even really a football thing, it's a life thing, you know, is that when that moment arrives, when any moment arrives, whatever was done in preparation is going to get exposed in performance. That you're either going to train well enough to win, or you're going to wish that you had. That's what I always think of. I've been doing a circuit of attending camps all over the country. And I don't think most coaches, well, I know most coaches don't. I get this really unique vantage point because I get to go around and I get to be in all these rooms, staff rooms, team rooms, meeting rooms of all these different teams of college football, some high school, mostly college right now, all across the country. And teams in California and Florida and Ohio and Texas and Tennessee and Arkansas and Washington, all over the place. And what's so interesting to me about that is that here's all these teams prepping, there's all these coaches prepping, and they're all doing the same basic thing. They're meeting, they're watching film, they're having discussion, they're practicing, they're doing walkthroughs, they're lifting. The structure, for the most part, is the same. It's only the details and the quality of the effort that changes. And I pass on the message to all of them. Everybody else is doing this right now. What separates you? What separates you? So that is every part of what I see in the offseason in this camp and all of that. Every part I see is there is preparation right now being done that is going to be exposed in performance. And when that exposure happens, some people are going to be very, very pleased with the results. Other people are going to be disappointed. That's what makes competition so fun. And I guess the way that I think about it, Keith, is, and tell me if this makes sense. Right now, teams are training in the dark. They've been training in the dark for a long time. And then when kickoff happens, that's when the lights turn on. And the hard part about training in the dark is that you can't see your progress as clearly as you do under the light. This is bigger than football. So much of life is about training in the dark. It's about training when you don't see the results. You don't see the payoff. You see indicators. I feel like I'm getting stronger. My 40 time was a little faster. I feel a little bit more confident. I'm processing plays a little quicker, but that's not the stuff that counts. What counts is when the lights come on, when the exposure happens, and the scoreboard is tracking real numbers. How do we perform based on the preparation that we did in the dark? And so the lights are about to come on and people are about to get exposed. And man, that's where dreams are made or where they're crushed. So that's, you asked what I see. That's where my mind is right now. And I'm just really wired and tuned to that because I'm making my rounds. I'm stopped here and I'm in Iowa today and I'm flying out to LA later this afternoon, spend the day out there tomorrow with a couple teams and sort of finish up the last few teams here before kickoff coming up soon. So that's what I see.
Well, that's definitely it right now. And as you mentioned, it becomes real here quick. And 50%, do the math, 50% of the teams are going to be somewhat disappointed after that first week, right? Somebody wins, somebody loses. The beauty of this, that what was, you know, not real and for practice and dress rehearsals now becomes real. And we're going to see how well we did all off season long and developing. And we're going to see how we adjust because week one doesn't indicate the success or failure of a season. It's just the very beginning here. And like the leadership journey, you know, a team grows over the course of the season. So the focus today, living the standards that you teach, living up to those standards as a coach, I think is a very good place to start here because that's what we spend all of our off season doing is creating those standards, quote unquote, raise the bar of what we're going to do. And that's what camp is about, right? Like you said, everybody's in the room doing the same type of work, but how is that going to pay off? And I think, you know, before you and I got talking, a lot of that really does go to how much the coach is able to live up to those standards that he's setting for the player.
Yeah, and I'm going to come hot out of the gates here, Keith, because you guys know if this is your first time listening, I deliver the truth with love, but I don't hold back. If you have listened before, then you already know this. And so we're going to start we're not going to start back at square one. We're going to start, you know, climbing up to level 8, 9, and 10 here from the beginning. Here's the standard, unflexible if you're a coach. If you expect it from your athletes, you better be living it as a coach. Full stop, Keith. If you expect it from your athletes, you had better be living it as a coach. And coaches have some ground to cover and gaps to close on this right now. Because I'm looking around and I'm seeing, and I don't think social media has helped on this, coaches who have drifted. I don't believe coaches got into this for a bad spot. Okay, I don't want this to be, you know, criticism and judgmental. I don't want this to be a character flaw. But nonetheless, it can get interpreted by that from other people, but I'm not going to assign it to a character flaw. But too many coaches have drifted to preaching principles they don't practice. And they deliver it with a shocking lack of empathy for what they're asking players to do on things coaches aren't actually executing themselves. If you want your players to be emotionally in control, you have to show them as a man how to be emotionally in control. How you manage your emotions and display them to your athletes, around your athletes, when your athletes are watching you, has a far more significant impact than what you tell your athletes to do with their emotions. And so this gap between what we expect from our athletes and what we are living as a coach, it has to get closed. I think there's nothing more important that you'll do as a coach than living the standards that you demand from your players. And it's more than just football, Keith, because I view this in life. The standards have to apply to the people who set them. They have to. I think we might have even talked about that topic before on a podcast. But the standards have to apply to the people who set them. So, one, because I got a couple thoughts around this. Does that make sense? And where does your head go? Or where do you think of when I put that out? What comes to mind?
Immediately, I had this vision of, you know, and I don't know where exactly this happened. To me, it was kind of comical, but seeing a guy coached with, you know, a player coming to the sideline who lost his composure, and he's yelling at the top of his lungs for him to keep his composure. And, you know, it's just ironic, right? You know, that's something you see the coach acting a way that he didn't want his player to act. Or you have those situations, you know, just where you see it happen during the course of the game, that guy who wants something from his players is unable to handle it himself in a certain way. I saw it this past week. I was at a scrimmage and the head coach was just losing his mind. Now, I can't imagine that if his players acted the same way, he would be okay with that.
Right. And there's a great example, right? So let's stop right there. So a lot of people hear this and then they'll drift to one of two things, right? They'll drift to one of two things. And this is how you know it's a good topic, and this is how I know that it's on the right vein. Because one of the two pushbacks that I'll get because I don't say something like this. To me, it's very obvious. And I don't say, if you expect it from your athletes, you better be living it as a coach and not expect pushback. Okay. I understand that. I think that's obvious. I don't think there's any debate, but that's my view. I expect pushback on that. And the pushback comes from two camps. One is, oh, so you're asking for perfection. Well, sorry, I wish people were perfect, but they're not perfect. Okay, that's the first pushback, which is ridiculous because that's not the expectation. We don't expect our athletes to be perfect, and so we would never ask ourselves to be perfect. Number two is coaches get in order to try to invalidate the statement or make an excuse for themselves, coaches will throw an absolute in there. So I should be doing homework and going to high school just like my students? No. I should be eating the exact same foods my students eat? No, of course not. But here's the thing. If you tell your student athletes to take care of their bodies, then what do you have to do for yourself? Take care of your body. You cannot ask a student athlete to make choices you refuse to make. You don't have to do the same thing a student athlete does. You just have to uphold the standards that you expect. So if you don't take care of your body, and then you expect the student athlete to take care of their body, and you get upset with that student athlete when they don't take care of their body, how can you be credible if you don't take care of your own body and nobody's allowed to say anything to you about it, or you don't come from a place of empathy? And if you struggle to take care of your body, then when an athlete struggles to take care of his body, do you empathize with him and reveal some of your insecurities and struggles and emotional problems that don't make you take care of yourself and help you work better with that athlete and give him a longer leash and rope because he has the exact same struggle as you? That's what I'm talking about. If you struggle with emotions and managing yourself and getting angry and losing your mind, okay, just give your athletes a longer leash then. Or don't give them a longer leash and give yourself a shorter leash. Or change the conversation from being angry at your athletes for not managing themselves or dictating to them and change the nature of the conversation. Say, guys, I struggle to manage myself. Here is when, here is where, here is why, here's what happens to me. Here is the self-awareness I gain on the backside. But you know what? Pretty consistently, I lose my mind in very specific contexts, and I'm incapable of managing my emotions in real scenarios. Do any of you struggle with that as well? And how can we help each other get better at that? Keith, that's living the standards you expect from your players. It's not forcing you to be different than you are. It's not forcing you to be perfect. And it's not even forcing you to actually just get better at everything and be great at everything you're asking from players. It's asking you to live the standard. If you struggle with emotional control on the sideline, you can live that standard by opening up about why you struggle, opening up about how that inhibits you, opening up about what happens to you in games and how your mind changes so that you give athletes some permission for them to tell you where they struggle. And now the two of you are meeting in the middle and saying, look, we're both struggling on this. We ought to work together. So athlete, I want you to help me. I, as a coach, am going to help you. And now we're creating alignment on this. It's what I have a problem with, Keith, is I have a problem with a coach who lacks the self-awareness to see that he doesn't actually apply the standard to his own life and then just hammers on players to do it, or pushes on players to do it, or demands it from players, or gets angry if a player doesn't uphold the standard, and then the coach has not held up a mirror to see if he lives that standard in quite some time. Again, not judgment of coaches. It's frankly coming from a place of concern, because what I see is this, Keith. What I see is too many coaches not understanding how much that kills their credibility, and they lose connection with athletes because of it. And now the coach is out of position to actually change that athlete's life and help that athlete and grow that athlete, because the athlete is looking at it and there's a disconnect with that coach for some reason. And I don't want coaches to be disconnected. I want them to be connected. I want coaches to be strong positions of influence. You just can't be in the strongest possible position of influence if you're not living the standards that you expect from other people.
I think there's a couple things that really like about this approach. Number one, coming from that place as a coach of a little bit of, I guess, vulnerability in that you're going to open yourself up to the people you work with in order to help them to grow. But it's certainly a two-way street here, that we don't go into this and come out unchanged as individuals. You know, when we're working with these athletes and helping them grow, that there's part of this that is going to change our lives as well. And that can only come if you're open to something like this. I mean, I've always viewed the classroom, football field, coaching as an opportunity for learning for everybody involved. I don't have all the answers as a coach all the time. You know, I need to learn from those guys as well. I know, you know, as a parent, as a father, I'm facing some of those same things and helping, you know, I got a junior and a senior now, helping them grow both through their athletics, but also, you know, just in life. So for me, it's being open to, you know, I want you to live this way, but how am I handling myself as well? So my son, as an example, you know, he's at a point where, you know, he's got to do the right things and treat his body the right way and needs, you know, honestly, to accomplish his goals. And he wants to be a college baseball player. He's got to probably add 15, 20 pounds here over the next 5 or 6 months, right? So he's going to have to put some work into that. But as I looked at myself, I said, you know what? I'm not exactly where I need to be. And I'm preaching to him that you need to do these things and stay on track. And, you know, I put it on him to get it done, but certainly offer that support. But, you know, I have to live up to those standards as well. So it's put a focus for me on changing some things I do. And I think you look at this, I mean, this is why a lot of coaches see this as just so much more than a job, because there's a lot you can take away from it as well. And I know, you know, there's another aspect to this too, and you mentioned it is, you know, really there's a result to doing this right, and certainly a result to doing it wrong, where, like you said, you lose that credibility, and things, especially as you face the different adversities of the season, will eventually come unraveled if you don't pay attention to this.
Yeah, and it's not impossible to do it if you don't live the standards that you expect from your players. It's just harder. And I don't know why you would expect it to be harder, and I don't understand why anybody would want to not live a standard they demand from somebody else. I would put it this, any standard that you expect or demand from a player that you don't have an interest in applying to yourself, like, you would better have a damn good reason why you are demanding that from a player then. And you'd better have a really good explanation that you articulate well to your players. I am applying this to you, and I do not apply it to myself, and this is why, and it better make sense to them. Otherwise, you're just at a risk of getting caught. You're just at a really big risk. So yeah, you know, Keith, I look at that, right? And I think that's a really good one, right? You talked about eating right for your son to be able to accomplish what he wants in his high school and then in his collegiate career. And hey, there's eating decisions. You got to do this. You got to do that, blah, 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 whatever those things are. And if you're trying to impress that upon him, right? And let me just put it this way. If you had to pick, right? If you had to pick between you telling him that all the time or you eating great yourself for your goals, not eating the same as him, eating great yourself for your objectives that both of you understood, and then you ate that way, which do you think would be a more powerful influencer for him? If you told him what to do all the time, or if you ate great and demonstrated how to make good eating decisions and how to actually think and manage yourself to make those kinds of eating decisions, which would have a stronger influence on him?
Well, I know firsthand it's making those right decisions myself. And, you know, we went on a little vacation together here before football season started. And, you know, we had that discussion and it came up, well, you know, Dad, what are you going to do? You always talk about you're not where you want to be. What are you going to do? And I said, yeah, you got a really good point there. So, you know, it's served really, you know, and think about this when you're able to have some of those honest conversations, whether that's with your own kids or with your players, that I think the standards elevate together, right? More than they would just me pushing on him to do it a certain way, yet that not being reflected in my own actions, in my own behaviors.
Yes. And I don't think we draw enough parallels to how those things are essentially the same, is just the context is different. So let's just stay on this topic. And so everyone, while you're listening to this, this topic is reflective of any other version of how this would get applied to your life. So as a coach or anything else, this is the same, this structure I'm going to talk through right now, this is how you would do this for any principal, whether this was father and son, coach and player, or, you know, boss and person that you're leading, leader and the person who's following. What I'm going to talk about right now, this is just an example, but it's just a structure that works the same for the most part everywhere you would do this. So you've got your son, and he has a goal. And in order to do that, one of the things that you believe and he believes will need to be necessary, he's got to put on, let's just call it 20 pounds. And in order to put on 20 pounds, there's a lot of different things to put on 20 pounds, but there is two main things. Number one is you've got to eat in a way that will make that happen. Yes. And then you've got to work in a way that will make that happen. Those are the two things. We'll just keep it really simple. So if you don't make the eating decisions and you don't make the work decisions, the 20 pounds isn't even an option. Right. And there's a minimum standard. If you do 40% of the work, you probably aren't even going to gain 5 pounds. You know, for a high school guy, like, that 40% of the work doesn't carry almost 40% of the payoff. It carries much, much less. So there's that. And his goal is, I want to play college baseball. But sometimes are there for your son, are there elements of doing that work and eating food that limit the total amount of enjoyment he might have at this stage of his life, that he might have to put off some of the enjoyment right now in order to do the work and eat the food he needs to eat, or eat the way he needs to eat to get the larger goal that he would like?
Yeah, there certainly is.
There certainly is.
I honestly wish I could eat like him. That, you know, that would be one of my goals. So he has it easier than me right now in getting to his goal. But at the same time, I mean, it is a challenge for him, because this is a kid who's, you know, playing football right now. He's doing some things to improve himself as a baseball player, working on, you know, both some of the things with his arm, his fielding, his bat. He's burning a lot of calories. So if he's not attentive to that, and it's not always easy for him, like, man, that's a lot of food. I don't know if I could eat all this, right? And trying to get the protein shakes into him and all those things, like, it's really helping him along the way. I see it. I see that it is a struggle. Now, me, I could show him how to put on 20 pounds real quick, but we're not talking about that kind of weight.
Yeah. So it's hard. Is what you said. Just straight up, it's hard. And there's other things. And sometimes that goal of playing college baseball and all of the work required to get there, it can feel kind of far away. And there's other stuff that sometimes starts to kind of distract or get more fun. And maybe even sometimes some of the questions starts to chip in of like, man, like, is that really what I want? And is that really worth all of this? That conversation ever come up or thought get entertained? Is that goal really worth all of this?
Yeah, he hasn't, fortunately, he hasn't brought that up yet. But sure. He's, you know, something we've focused on all the time, making sure this is what he wants. And,
got it.
You know, he's got the ownership in that goal.
Good. So now let's switch to you. And this is, again, so you're all clear. This is, I'm only talking to Keith right now. I'll have my version of this and you've got yours, but this is how it works. Well, what's your goal? Like, your goal, here's the thing. Your son's goal is not put on 20 pounds. What's your son's goal?
His goal is to play college baseball.
His goal is to play college baseball. So what's your goal?
My goal is to live fit into my 50s. Yeah, be healthy here. We're at a time where...
Right? Your goal is be healthy.
Yeah, you do those things wrong, you end up in the hospital or having stents put in or whatever it might be. So it's real.
That's what I'm talking about, right? And you had your knee replaced, right? You had your knee replaced. So you're like, okay, great. Like there's that. Like, your goal isn't weight. Your goal isn't, you know, general health, right? Your goal is to be a healthy dad who participates, to be a healthy grandpa, hopefully someday, to be here for the people that love you and to not put yourself at a physical risk where some ailment might find its way into your life that you could have prevented. Your goal is not a weight issue. Because it never really is. And you're not competing in anything right now, to the best of my knowledge, but your goal is something bigger than that. Now, Keith, are there certain eating things that you have to do in order to get yourself to the health that makes you, you know, secure and in the kind of shape that helps you take care of your family long term? Are there things you need to do to eat in order to make that happen?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Is there work that you need to do in order to make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's aside, people talk about it, you know, as discipline, but really there's a lot of, I mean, if you're really going to understand what's going into your body, there's a lot of work to do. It's not just, you know, open the fridge and eat that piece of lettuce or whatever it might be. I mean, there's proper ways to do it, I'm finding out, that really I didn't think about before, especially as you get older.
So look at where you and your son are. You guys are in the exact same position. Literally, you guys are in the exact same position. Are sometimes, Keith, the things that are showing up in your day-to-day life or maybe even the midst of 1 year ever, like, distracting or tempting, or, like, sometimes there's something that's a little bit more fun right now that kind of make you delay or question whether or not long-term eating healthy is really that, like, do I really need to do all of that because of the short-term fun or taste or enjoyment of it? You just want to relax a little bit, that just kind of distract you from your goal of, like, really getting yourself into a shape that means that you're going to carry longevity through the rest of your life? Does it ever get distracting in the short term?
Oh, man, there's always fun things that you can do that get in the way of that.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you know what to eat, you know how to move, but what? Doing it every single day is hard. Man, that's a lot of work and a lot of time to be able to get myself in the shape that I want to be in. And so what I mean is this, if you get distracted, and here's where the empathy is shockingly lacking in my mind. If it's hard for you as a grown adult who has better impulse control, more experience, more knowledge, you've been there before, you've done it before, and you're in control of yourself, and you've got great access to info, and you're a smart dude who's got responsibilities, and it's hard for you, imagine how hard it is for your 17-year-old son who doesn't have all those things, who doesn't have that experience, who doesn't have that impulse control, who doesn't have those reps, who doesn't have that wisdom that comes with being a dad and having a job and paying a mortgage and making mistakes and having been a coach. And it's hard for you. And so here's him. And so if he's struggling with it and we're struggling with it, maybe the struggles you have are the exact same ones that he has. Maybe the reason you don't make the eating, and I'm just using an example again here on the broad, right? But maybe the reason that you don't go down and work out on a particular day is the exact same reason he doesn't do it. Maybe the reason you question whether it's all worth it is the reason he might question whether it's all worth it. Maybe they're different, but they're probably pretty tied. And so what I keep holding on the line is, man, if we're struggling to do this every day and we're really inconsistent, man, we don't want to really press on that. Well, then we got to look at a 17-year-old and say, well, okay, well, if they're inconsistent and they're about as inconsistent as I am, I can't expect them to be more disciplined than I'm willing to be on it. Like that's unreasonable. It's irrational. I've got to look at that 17-year-old and say, oh, okay, their struggle is going to be like mine, but probably a little heavier because they're 17 and they're still in that developmental stage. And there's a lot of stuff that I've got that they don't have. And so you take the same thing, right? Like just go take that out and then apply it across the board. And it's not about, again, it's not about perfection, right? It's about saying, okay, if I want to live a standard, how do I influence the best? It ain't by demanding the standard. It's by showing it. You want to have the strongest influence, go do it. Right. I famously take the stairs when I'm in airports. I famously don't run in an airport if my flight is delayed. And I travel with I got some people that travel with me sometimes. I got my video guy, you know, who'll travel with me and stuff, and we'll be like delayed for a flight, and then like he'll be looking at me like, oh, it's late, like, and they'll be looking at me like, is he gonna run? And all they see is they just see me walk. Or we'll get to an escalator, these long stairs, and they'll see me with like two bags, and they're heavy, and they'll be like, is he going to take the escalators? And I don't even blink. I just walk right to the stairs and start walking up. And guess what happens, Keith, with most of the people who travel with me when I start walking the stairs? I don't ever say, you better walk the stairs. I expect you to walk the stairs. I just go walk the stairs. Guess what they usually do? They usually walk the stairs. Now, my smartest friends get on the escalator and film it on Instagram and say, I don't live by Brian Kite's rules, which is cool because now they chose their own standard. But most of the time, they walk the stairs. And I go with my family. I go with my wife and my kid. And now that he's out of a stroller and we're going up the stairs, and guess what? I start walking up the stairs and my wife will flip that bag down, grab it. I'll grab her bag or she'll grab our son or he'll go on the stairs. And we walk the stairs together as a family. I don't tell my wife and kid, you guys better walk the stairs because that shows hard work. No, 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 no. I walk the stairs. I make good eating decisions. I turn the television off. I wake up early. I be nice to people. I show respect to the people who serve us and drive our Ubers and wait on tables. I'm kind to them. I'm nice to them. I do the work. I set the standard. And then I'm going to hold people to a standard in a group that I belong to a standard that I believe that we need to operate. But I need to live it first. And if I'm not living it, well, then either one, I'm going to have a good reason that I tell you why I'm not living it and why that standard is something, you know, because you start having kids and it's like kids don't always get to use all of the exact same language that we use. Obviously, they don't get to drink the same beverages that we can drink. There's things that young people don't do that adults do. And obviously, that makes a ton of sense. But across the board, we've got to really look at living those standards. And so, Keith, this was something I wanted to talk about because I'm really concerned with the amount of preaching I see on Twitter from coaches. And I put out a lot of Twitter content, and so I'm exposed, and I want to be. But, man, I see a lot of coaches putting out a lot of content fishing for popularity and retweets and growing status on a Twitter, and we would crush kids, and they do crush kids when they see them doing the same thing. And putting content out that is designed to get retweets and designed to get messages and designed only just to feed into like, hey, this is something I'm supposed to say. And it's not turned back around and applied back to self. One of the things I want to work really hard to do in my own content is if I'm going to put it out, I want to make sure that I'm paying a price for it, I'm doing it, or I'm working on it. I'll put out a piece of content on something that I suck at, but I will tell you, and I will be in the midst of the progress and the work on it and say, look, I have failed at this repeatedly. I believe this to be true, and I am nowhere near good enough, and I am out trying to do it, and I think this is a message that ought to get out there. but you're not going to see me send out a message that says, you know, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, and then watch me walk onto a field and just mistreat people, abuse them, judge them. I think that's BS. That's the minimum qualification for being a coach, is live the standards that you teach. If you don't live it, stop teaching it. If you want to teach it, put it into your own behavior first, then go out and teach it.
BK, in looking at that concept and thinking about, you know, I guess to kind of move this to a conclusion here and wrap up, thinking about finding that opportunity for growth. I think that's really kind of what we're talking about here, that, you know, when we look at the standards, you know, we're raising them by living the standards. And you get to be in a lot of great rooms with a lot of great teams. I mean, you work with the elite. What does that look like? You know, how does that look elite? I mean, can you don't have to name names here or programs, but can you give some tangible examples of exactly what elite looks like when living up to the standard?
Yeah, it first and foremost, what I would say is this, it's not even about the elite. You don't have to be elite to do this. Now, I do think that the elite do, but you don't have to be elite to do this. Here's, on the broader scale, here's the thing. You have to pay a price. And you talk about being vulnerable, Keith. And I think sometimes coaches and men in particular get scared of the word vulnerable, and they kind of like, oh, vulnerable, what do I got to get, mushy, or I don't know, reveal, and that's going to hurt my credibility. And I think people misinterpret that. And so, you know, well, let's come to that on a later episode, talk about vulnerability, what it is, what it isn't, how to do it well as a man in particular. But the easy thing is you have to pay a price. Again, something we talk to athletes about a lot is you got to pay a price. And so, look, setting a high standards in a program is great, but you as a coach have to pay a price for it. If you're not paying a price, you're not living the standard. Every belief requires a behavior, and if you can live that behavior and you pay no price for it, you're either not really living it or you set it way too low. There's a price to pay. So I always look at, like, what's the price you're going to pay as a coach for the standards that you're setting inside your program? Not what price do you want your athletes to pay. That feels fairly obvious, but also empathize with the price your athletes are paying. Like, empathize with the fact that if they're missing social events, they don't get to do things. Like, understand what are the social aspects of high school or college that they miss out on because they're living your standards. They're real. Empathize with it. It's okay to empathize and ask them for the high standard. It's great. But what price are you paying as a coach? Where do you get stuck? Where do you sweat? Where do you look silly? Where do you look goofy? Where are you not good enough? And how are you exposed in that way? I think that's real. So what's that look like, right? I think that looks like, you know, having that conversation of where are we? How are we doing? Letting players tell you feedback. Let them tell you, look, hey, what are the ways about how I communicate that you don't like? Let them tell you. Hey, you say this and you say that, and it just pisses me off. And every time you go to this, I just tune you out. And what you find is it's certainly hard for a player to say that. But here's the thing. If you want your players, I mean, here's another standard, Keith. If you want to be able to coach your players hard and tell them the truth without them getting defensive, what's the minimum expectation that you allow them to do back to you? Coach you hard and tell you some truth that might be painful to hear without you getting defensive. You want to coach the hell out of your players? You better make sure. And it doesn't have to be the players who do that for you, because obviously it's not the same relationship. But if you want to coach other people hard, you better be willing to get coached hard yourself. So what's that look like? Hear really difficult truths about yourself. Make the truth obvious. Let people tell you the truth without getting defensive. If you don't like when players make excuses, don't make excuses yourself. If you ask other coaches on your staff, hey, what do I do that frustrates you the most? What pisses you off the most? Hey, what's the one thing that I don't know about myself that you don't think I have self-awareness of that would help me be a better coach if I actually understood better? I ask that question. What is it about me that you don't think I understand, or I lack some self-awareness that if I understood, I'd be a better coach? I'd be a better CEO. I'd be a better person. I just ask the question straight up. I think the other thing is, and I was talking with a coach in the SEC about this. He asked a question, hey, what kind of what you asked, what do you see some of the best doing? And I it wasn't so much what I see some of the best doing, or I see the best getting closer to this, but this coach I was working with in the SEC, I said, here's what I think is really clear. and that is that coaches are spending a one-to-one ratio of development time for the athletes on the leadership or culture side and spending one-to-one ratio with the exact same amount of time with their own staff. If you're going to go put your players in a room for a half hour and have them work on an issue and hear from a Navy SEAL or me or somebody else, put your staff in the same room and deliver the same message with the same level of self-awareness, thought, application, and observation to the staff. Don't just go throw your team into a pool with the program, the Navy SEAL group that does all that stuff, and have the program run your players through running them ragged and tired and do that without a clear communication. Throw your staff in that pool. You put your players through 2 days of the program. Great. Buy the program for 4 days and then throw yourself and your whole staff into that pool. Have the program put your staff under pressure. Have them question their manhood and character. See how that staff responds. That's what I'm most interested in for the elite programs and the ones who want to go to elite, is make it one-to-one. If we do it for our players, we're going to do it for our staff too. And if you want your players to open their hearts, open your heart as a staff. If you want your players to be vulnerable and trust each other and be real, do the same thing as a staff and go first. So that's what I see. Keep it one-to-one. Development for players, development for staff. Player team alignment, staff alignment.
Yeah, that's something I heard echoed in a podcast that I listened to. In particular, a former Big Ten head coach talked about that process and how that was installed with their staff. And I mean, he echoed those exact things, that what they were putting their guys through, they were also doing themselves. And I think it's two very good tips there on how to look elite in this. I hear guys talk about that hard coaching all the time. We're going to coach them hard. We're going to love them too. I think that's important. I think, you know, in a sport like this, it demands it. But again, getting that feedback. And we had a podcast last year with a coach who talked about that exact idea. And, you know, midway through the year, it's not always easy maybe to have the open conversations. They created basically a survey tool in Google Docs that their players filled out every week that gave them the feedback they needed as coaches to get better. And they took it seriously. And some neat things in there too. I mean, the players got to name a coach of the week, right? You talk about setting the standards. We look for the player of the week. I mean, now the players are voting on a coach of the week. I think, wow, that kind of gets to be pretty powerful when you see how those guys view you, both from that feedback standpoint, but that enough that they'd say, hey, this is the guy who did the best job this particular week. Kind of gives that back and forth and really closes that loop. It doesn't make it one way. I guess it makes it a loop.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. I absolutely like that. You know, I think the other thing, Keith, would be, you know, as you're building your messaging out for your program, is whatever your messaging is, you know, that week or, you know, again, whatever your standards are, et cetera, before you ever put your messaging out loud, just make sure you take, it doesn't need to be any more than 5 minutes. Just make sure you take 5 minutes and say, okay, here's my messaging for the team this week. And then say, if somebody were to look at me in my life with this, what would they see? Like, that right there is a good place to start. If they looked at me in my life with this, what would they see? And if you find that they might question your credibility passing on that message, given how you live, well, then, you know, you probably ought to adjust how you send that message. It's not lower your standard. It's you ought to adjust how you send that message. So if you're going to ask for a standard that you're not currently doing real well on, don't come from a command and control perspective. Don't come from a you guys better do this perspective. Come from a, hey, we need to do this and it's hard and I struggle with it. And so let's get better together. Here's why it's hard. Here's how we're going to get better.
Well, BK, in minding our time here, I know coaches have a lot of things to do. I think we give them a lot to chew on here this week. So we're going to pick things up next week. I think some outstanding topics here as we go through week one of the leadership journey here in 2019. There'll be some links, definitely. We did cover command and control in one of our podcasts. Last season was one of my favorite episodes, actually. So I'll put the links to that one in our show notes, as well as links to how you can find the daily discipline. So if you would, Brian, share with our listeners all the places they can find you.
Yeah, so two places you guys can find me online. The first is my new website, tbriankite.com. It's just like my social handle on Twitter and Instagram, at tbriankite. So tbriankite.com, that's where you guys can find the content and all and the systems and in my personal blog where I write. And then also, if you're interested in the daily discipline email and all things pertaining to how to apply discipline in life as a professional, as a person, you know, relationship, you know, for performance, dailydiscipline.com is the place to go.
Well, BK, again, thank you for your time this week. I look forward to week two of the Leadership Journey a week from today.
Me too. Thanks, brother.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as three free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff I think that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis articles, and coaching. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.